You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon. The message that I'm going to preach today is the big picture of the gospel. The big picture of the gospel. Now here I am not going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to show you what is the gospel, because you can download those MP3 sermons, the glorious message of the gospel. I have mentioned what is the gospel. And also elements of the gospel, the satisfaction of Christ, and there are, how can a sinful man go to heaven. So there are so many messages we have given on the subject of the gospel. But the big picture of the gospel that I'm going to show today is how this gospel message began from the book of Genesis and all the way through to the end of it. The book of Revelation, how it was truly fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13. The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13. And it says here, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there come one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given the dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Of course, this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, where he is going to reign in glory in his kingdom. That all peoples and nations, that means different ethnic groups all over the world and different languages, will come to serve him. And his dominion is going to be an everlasting dominion, and that his kingdom shall continue forever and ever. Now, again, what I want to show you, what I want to mention today, is I'm not coming here to give my opinions here or to give my feelings, but Scripture is going to be the standard or rule. So Scripture is going to be the one that is going to interpret and show what is right and what is wrong. Okay? It's not my opinions or my feelings or what I think it is right, but the Word of God is going to be the standard of rule. Now, once we read that Scripture in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 13, let's see how Jesus, when in his ministry, okay, just before he ascended to heaven, he told the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And here, What we are going to see today is how this gospel message that began from the very beginning in the book of Genesis, that will go through all the way through how Christ fulfilled it, and to the very end, how we see how different nations, different tribes, different languages, how they came, how they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now, many people have a very narrow view of the gospel. They see the gospel only through the lens of the New Testament. Now, that's so saddening to see that. Because whenever they see the gospel, or whenever they hear Jesus Christ, they turn immediately to the New Testament. But the Old Testament, there are so many 39 books in the Old Testament, which totally been neglected. So, we need to see the big picture of the gospel. Alright? Now, first of all, it is very important for us to understand that a nation is going to be born. And this nation is going to be born out of one man, and that is Abraham. Now, through Abraham will come a blessing, and that blessing, through Abraham will come a blessing and a curse. And all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through Abraham. Now, my question is, did God preach the gospel to Abraham? Yes or no? Did God preach the gospel to Abraham? Everybody is looking at me very confused. Okay. Now if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. As I told you, it's not going to be my opinion here. I'm going to use only scriptures. Okay. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. And I'm going to read it for you. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to who? To Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. Okay. So, if you turn with me to Genesis, you know Genesis 3:15, how God said he's going to put enmity between you, that is Satan, and the woman, right? And so there's going to be enmity, and we know that the between your offspring and her offspring. So between Satan's offspring are the carnal, fleshly, worldly people. We saw that, right? And just thinking about that, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Came to my mind, Matthew 13 verse 38 says, Matthew 13 verse 38, Jesus said, the field is the world and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Here we see the good seed and the bad seed. The good seed that is going to come through the woman are the true believers. So the tares are the children of the wicked one. So Genesis 3:15, you see the good seed and the bad seed that is going to come. Now, if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And we saw that same scripture in the book of Galatians, okay, part of it where Apostle Paul quoted in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, right? that Apostle Paul said, all scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Wow! So, how can the nations are going to be blessed unless Abraham doesn't know the gospel? He has to know the gospel first. How can from Abraham to Isaac to, you know, to Jacob, you know, Joseph, all the way through, how can they come to know the gospel unless somebody knew the gospel? You understand? So here, God is, we can see that the seed or the Messiah is going to come through the woman's, okay, seed, and also is God is going to make a promise to Abraham that in through his seed will come the Messiah. Okay, through his seed will come this good seed. All right, and also the body of Christ will come through his seed, who is the body of Christ, the church. So a nation was born through Abraham. Okay, you know the nation Israel. Of course, God gave a promise to Abraham, he is going to have a son, but he is too old. But when he was 100 years old, Isaac was born. 100 years old, Isaac was born. And here, not only God gave the promise to Abraham, but also God appeared to Isaac. And God said in Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said to Isaac, I am the God of Abraham, thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Now remember, Isaac, his wife Rebekah had two sons. And what were their names? Esau and Jacob. Now the promise, this promise has to go through only through one child all the way through. But Esau is the oldest and Jacob is the younger. But God in his sovereignty, his sovereign election, he did not choose Esau, but he chose Jacob. And so Esau is more like the fleshly man. Okay? But the other seed. But Jacob is going to be from the spiritual line, the good seed that is going to come. Okay? And of course, later on, we know what happened to Jacob. God even changed his name into what? Into Israel. And out of Jacob came what? The nation Israel. How do you know that? Because Jacob had how many sons? 12 sons. He had 12 sons, and birth of the 12 tribes of Israel came out of the loins of Jacob. Okay, and so here we see a nation was born, and we remember how God in his providence put Joseph in Egypt when there was a famine. And all his brothers eventually had to go there for food. But after that period, the new Pharaoh came and he forgot who Joseph was. And the children of Israel were under the bondage of Pharaoh in Egypt. But God in his mighty power appeared to Moses. And you know how God delivered them out of that. God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. And we see God's hand all the way through the redemption for the Israel, deliverance from the enemy. And then also God how appeared to them from Mount Sinai and gave them the law to obey. Then there was a tabernacle to worship. There was a theocratic government that they were under. Not a democratic, but theocratic, governed by God. Then later we see how people ask for a king. You know, they want to be like the other nations. They say, we want a king like the other nations. God provided them a king. And of course, his name was Saul. we know later on how Saul became obedient, disobedient. He began in obedience, but later he became disobedient. But God told Samuel, the prophet, to anoint David, who lived in Bethlehem. Later, Saul was killed in the battle against the Philistines, and David became the king. And David made Jerusalem his capital. David desire, he had a desire, and he realized, I'm living in a mansion, but God is in a tent, and I want to build a house for the Lord. You know, what a wonderful desire he had. He had this in his heart. So he wanted to build a house to God. But God told David, no, David, I am going to build a house for you. And 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12, how God told David, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who will come from your body. Okay, who is this offspring that is going to come? That's going to be the son of David, Jesus Christ. And I will establish his kingdom. That's what we saw in the book of Daniel from the very beginning. His kingdom will last forever. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be led to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Oh, what a wonderful scripture is this. That how God, you know, that's why Jesus is called, what? The son of David. He came through the humanity of David. That the seed we saw in Genesis 3:15 is so vital. It is so important, the seed, Genesis 3:15, because that's the nutshell of the gospel, the dawning of the gospel, the seed of the gospel is there. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, Micah prophesied that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Then of course we see how Jesus in his birth, he was born in Bethlehem. And then Matthew 1:21 says that she shall bring forth a son, the seed of the woman. Alright? Now, Jesus came through the seed of the woman, and here it is, a virgin, a woman, gives birth to the Messiah. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call him his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. It's a woman that was deceived by Satan in the garden, in the paradise. But also, Messiah came through a woman. And he is going to save his people from their sins. He's not going to save every single individual. Not all the peoples, but his people. Who are his people? His people are going to be what we saw in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, the spiritual seed. Not the physical descendants of Abraham, but his spiritual seed. His elected spiritual seed, elected people, or the true believers, okay, who can be of the Jews and of the Gentiles. Then of course we see in Luke chapter 1 verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Again, we see his people. Luke chapter 1, verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people, led by the remissions of their sins. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. So you can see his people goes all the way from Matthew, all the way ends up in the book of Revelation. He came to save his people. And of course we understand that the salvation is from the wrath of God that we are saved, Romans 5:9 and 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And the natural man is enmity with God, Romans 8:7. So Jesus came as a mediator between man and God to mediate, that 1 Timothy 2:5, and he became the propitiation because God hates sin and he's angry with the sinners. Okay, so Jesus came as a propitiation, means he appeased, he calmed down the anger of God by the works of Christ, by his works on the cross. Okay, and then what did he do? He reconciled us back to God. So you can see the word propitiation in 1 John 2:2 and 1 John 4:10. Now, in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the book of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim what? The good news to the poor." Here's the gospel. Okay, now the gospel is going to come in full force now. Okay, in the Old Testament, it started as a small seed and it began to grow like a tender plant. Little by little, it began to grow, and when the Messiah came, it came with full power. Then he says, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord." That means everybody, all the people, were in darkness. We too were blind to the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says what? "If our gospel is been hidden, it is hidden to those who have been blinded by the enemy." So we were blinded. So, and then verse 20 says, Luke chapter 4:20, "And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus came to redeem, to save people, and he came to do the will of the Lord. He came to die on the cross for our sins. Okay, now what is his purpose of Jesus coming? 1 John 3:8 says, "For the Son of God was manifested that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil." Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now you see, Genesis 3:15, there is enmity already. God said, "I will put enmity." And he is going to bruise what? Your head. Satan is going to bruise a heel, but Jesus is going to bruise his head. So, purpose of the Son of Man coming is that he is going to destroy the works of the enemy. Remember, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, from the time Jesus began to preach, what did he say? His first message was what? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Sometimes he said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." Remember how he told Nicodemus, "Very, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus said, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Nicodemus, he said, "Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Of course, the Jews had a real problem understanding this. Especially when Jesus told to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus didn't understand. We know that. Because why? The Jews of that day, they were expecting a Messiah who will deliver the Israelites from the foreign yoke of the Romans. They were looking for a national deliverer. They were not looking for a spiritual savior who will come and save them from their guilt of sin. If Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a Gentile be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus would agree. Absolutely. We don't have to be born again. Jews are born again anyway, but the Gentiles need to be born again. But Jesus said, unless a man be born again, a man could be any man. That means a man could be a Jew or a Gentile. So, Jews were really looking for a literal kingdom where the Messiah will come and punish the Gentile nations. And Israel is going to enjoy the blessings and the reign of the Messiah. Remember Daniel, we saw that Daniel chapter 7:13, how Son of Man is going to come and he's going to give dominion and glory and so they were looking for a literal kingdom. And also they agreed that the Gentile nations, if they will not submit to the Messiah, they will be punished and destroyed. But also, remember how Pilate asked Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? What did Jesus say? My kingdom is not of this world. He said, oh, so he's not going to fight against Caesar now. He's not going to topple Caesar's rule. Okay, so they were looking for somebody who will topple Caesar, and that's why remember how when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, everybody said, oh, Hosanna, Hosanna, King of the Jews, they were exalting Jesus Christ. They thought this is the Savior who is going to deliver them from the bondage of the Roman Empire. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Meaning what? God so loved not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles who would believe in him. So Jesus told the disciples, after his resurrection, Jesus told the disciples to preach the gospel from Jerusalem, beginning in Jerusalem, to all the nations. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now the uttermost parts of the earth can be the end, or the little islands here and there, and those tribal people who had never heard the gospel. Now, John 3:16, Jesus said, for God so loved the world, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now the fulfillment of John 3:16 is found in the book of Acts, starting with chapter 2 verse 5. Okay, fulfillment, as I said, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The world means not only the Jews but also the Gentiles. So the fulfillment is in Acts 2:5, starting from 2:5, where we are going to read now. This is after the Pentecost came, okay? The Holy Spirit came. And now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Now, verse 9 says, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Who are the proselytes? Gentiles. Gentiles who believed in God. Okay? Who believed in the Old Testament God. Christians, Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. As John 3:16 is fulfilled. And we are going to see this John 3:16 fulfilled in other scriptures now. Okay? Remember, when these people heard the gospel, how Peter gave his first sermon at the Pentecost, and we know that they were cut to the heart, because they realized they have sinned against God. They were cut to the heart, and 3,000 people got saved. So Peter also had some problems. Just like Nicodemus, even when that happened, Peter too, like Nicodemus, still had problems. How can these Gentiles be saved? Can we still preach the gospel to the Gentiles? However, God decided to use Peter to win a Gentile Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. He was a Gentile, who was a God-fearing Gentile. So Peter one day went to pray, and he saw a vision in Acts chapter 10 verse 11. And saw the heavens open, and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. When you say four corners, talking about the ends of the earth, right? In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. Well, the Gentiles eat some weird kind of foods, right? Not like the Jews. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I had never eaten anything that is common or unclean. I am a man, I am a Jew, I eat only kosher stuff. I don't eat that kind of food. Those are what Gentiles eat." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times. This was taken up at once to heaven. Now, I don't know what's wrong with Peter. God always had to repeat him three times. Okay, so again here, God, three times. Of course, Peter denied the Lord three times. Okay, this time, of course, God repeated to Peter three times. Eventually, Peter, he realized that the gospel must be preached to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles also, they too can come to the kingdom of God. So what did Peter do? Well, he went to Cornelius' house. You know what Peter said? This is what he said in Acts chapter 10 verse 28. "You yourself know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or even to visit anyone of another nation." There you go. What do you see here? Enmity. Enmity. You see, there's an enmity between the Jew and the Gentile. No wonder Nicodemus didn't understand when Jesus said, "God so loved the world," meaning including the Gentiles. Peter said, "It is unlawful for us to go and associate Gentiles or even to visit you guys. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." Acts chapter 10 verse 34. "So Peter opened his mouth and said, Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him does what is right and acceptable Acts chapter 10 verse 40, Acts chapter 10 verse 44 says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised, that means the Jews, who had come with Peter, were amazed. Just like Nicodemus, he was, you know, remember John 3:16, how can this be? You know, we need to be born again. How can this be? You know, if a Gentile be born again, I understand. But God so loved the world, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. And here, the Jews were amazed when the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles. Because the gift, continuing in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. So another fulfillment of John chapter 3 verse 16. Now see Acts chapter 11 1. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party, the Jews, criticized him. You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them? How can this be? You know, so that was the friction during that time. So the Jews, they thought that the Messiah is going to come and deliver them from the Roman kingdom, a literal kingdom. Okay, and the Gentiles who will not be obedient to the Messiah will be punished and be destroyed. Jesus said, no, that's my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus came to remove the guilt of sin of man. Okay. And then we see how God elected, chose one apostle for the Gentiles. Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 13 verse 47 says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Man, I'm glad that Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Yeah, 2/3 of the New Testament Apostle Paul wrote. He is a light to the Gentiles. And these 2/3 of the New Testament, what great treasure we have. That for us, we were Gentiles. Okay, Acts chapter 13 verse 48 says, when the Gentiles heard this, that means when they heard the gospel message, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So, as many as were appointed to eternal life, they were ordained to eternal life by God. That means, we did not make a decision for Christ. Okay, we cannot, it's not my decision, it's not my decision to enter the kingdom of God. Okay, my decision is to sin. It's my free will is to sin. It is God who first came and brought the light of the gospel, and when God came into my heart, my mind was open suddenly. Then I realized I sin against God, then I repented. So the first light comes from God. Okay, so the regeneration happens first. That's very important to understand. When regeneration happens first, when God opens the heart, then we respond to Him. Okay, and then we cannot say no to the effectual call of God. Just like Lazarus was dead in the tomb for 4 days. There was no way that Lazarus can come on his own. Okay, a dead man cannot raise his body. He's dead. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Did Lazarus say, whoa, I don't want to come. I'm going to still stay here. No, he can't. You cannot resist the call of God. You cannot resist the call of God. Okay, just like Abraham, he was in the Chaldean area serving other gods, but God called Abraham. He couldn't resist. Jesus chose the disciples. And he said, come, follow me. And they said, no, we are going to stay here. No, when Jesus calls you, you cannot resist. Okay? That's called the effectual call of God. That's why the Gentiles heard the gospel. They believed it because they were ordained to eternal life. So, my friend, no wonder why Nicodemus could not understand when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have it everlasting life." Because Nicodemus, and also Peter and many other Jews, they thought that it is only the Jews have this privilege, not the Gentiles. Okay, so the world is, for them, the world means literally Jew and the Gentiles who believe. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, now this is a mystery, okay? We need to understand how the gospel came to Gentiles, it is a mystery. That's why Paul said, Ephesians 1:9 said, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself." Okay? A mystery, what is a mystery? Mystery is something that was hidden before and now being revealed. Now, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3:1. "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, Gentiles, assuming that you heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ." Mystery is repeated many times here. Then he goes on to say, verse 5, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. Okay, that is in the Old Testament, it was something that is hidden, has now been revealed. Okay, now that mystery has been revealed now to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is what? It says, verse 6, read it. "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." That is the mystery. That is the fulfillment of John chapter 3 verse 16. You know, that really goes along with Peter and Cornelius, right? It was a real mystery. They were amazed. How can this be? You know, when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And Ephesians chapter 2 verse 15. And I'm going to start with verse 11 to 19. Apostle Paul says, "Therefore remember that you, that us, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by the hands, in that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." We were just aliens. We were strangers. We didn't have anything to do with the Jews. Absolutely nothing. We didn't have anything to do with the law. We didn't know the covenants of promise. Nothing. Verse 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Praise God. Verse 14. "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Oh, he had made us peace. Talking about peace, there got to be some kind of a hostility or enmity to have peace. What was the hostility and the enmity? Between the Jew and the Gentiles. Remember Peter said to Cornelius, "We don't even visit you guys." Okay? We don't visit you guys. So there is peace. So, the middle wall is broken. Verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity." See? Gotta have enmity to have peace, right? "That is the law of the commandments contains the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them them is Jew and the Gentiles, both to God, one body through the cross, thereby putting the death of enmity. And he came and preached to you who are afar off, very far away, and to those who are near. So for through him, we both Jew and the Gentiles have access by one Spirit to the Father. And now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. Wow. How God, Jesus Christ, he abolished that middle wall. What was the obstacle that the Gentiles had that we couldn't come to God? What was the obstacle? What is this middle wall? It's a ceremonial law. Read the book of Hebrews. This ceremonial law was abolished. We don't have to go through all those ceremonies anymore. We are saved by faith. The enmity between the Jew and the Gentile, that was broken by Christ on the cross. Now both the Jew and the Gentile are reconciled together in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Can see the fulfillment of John 3:16? Maybe I should have put a topic on this, the fulfillment of John 3:16. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8 says, we saw that scripture before, and the scripture foreseen that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So that promise that gave to Abraham as promise is for us too, those who are believers. Matthew chapter 25 verse 14, Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So this kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached into all the world, to all the other nations, as a witness. Then the end is going to come. Revelation 5:9, I like to see the end. I like to see the beginning, and also I like to see the end. They sang a new song, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood, you ransomed people for God from the Jews. No, he doesn't say that. From every tribe, language, and people, and nation. John 3:16, fulfilled. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to God, but it was my decision that I made. I get a little glory. No. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Freewillers cannot do anything. They freewillers in heaven, they cannot find themselves in heaven glorifying, it was my decision, I made my decision, my faith was strong. Absolutely not. We were all in sin, born in sin. We praise God that He is the one who delivered us. Remember the seed of the gospel. In the seed of the gospel, there was the promise and the redemption. So there was salvation. How God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the promise of the gospel. The seed of the woman is Christ and his members. His members are the true church of God. The principal reference to the seed of the woman is Christ, of course, because he alone obtained the victory by destroying the works of the devil. Yet, it is also for his body and the church that we will have also victory over the devil. Because against this church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There will be enmity between the world and the church until Christ returns. In John chapter 15 verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So there is an enmity between the true seed, the true believers, and the world, the kingdoms of this world, and the kingdom of God is always at enmity. Remember how the devil tempted Jesus by showing him the kingdoms of this world? In Luke chapter 4 verse 5, and the devil took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So there's always going to be an enmity between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus in his high priestly prayer, in John chapter 17, he did not pray for the world. Because Jesus said in John chapter 17 verse 8, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them, for the believers. I am not praying for the world, for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. So he said, I am not praying for the world. Okay, so we had to see John 3:16 in the context, that is, it is the Jews, when you say God so loved the world, it's the Jews and the Gentile believers. So, also Matthew 25 verse 34, Jesus said, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So the kingdom has been prepared for those, when you came to Christ now? No, before the foundation of the world. But we were saved after the cross. But in God's mind, He had us before the foundation of the world. What a blessing is that? This is what the scriptures say. This is not what I am saying in my own opinion. I'm using the scripture. So we see in a nutshell, what do we see in a nutshell? That God promised a savior in Genesis 3:15. Two seeds are going to come from one woman. The savior, his body. Okay, the Savior is going to come, and also the true elect of God, the believers. Then the other seed would be the offspring of the devil. People, those are people who will never believe in Christ. They would be the people of the world. Okay, there is going to be enmity all the way through until Christ's second coming. Jesus preached the kingdom of God in hand. He preached the kingdom of God is in hand and preach the kingdom of God that consists not only the believing Jews but also the Gentiles, believing Gentiles. This is the mystery of God that is being revealed, and this is the kingdom of God. Now, what is the application? I'm going to give a little application here. If Christ is your Savior, then we need to understand that Christ, it is only through the works of Christ that we are saved. If Christ is your Savior, then we need to understand it is only through the works of Christ that we are saved. Not by our works we can go to heaven. That means works is not the way to heaven. Works is a result of what Christ have already done. If Christ is going to be your master, then you need to be obedient to the master. Okay, if Christ is going to be your master, if you say, Christ Jesus is my master, then you need to be obedient to his word. It means not to what I think, not how I feel, no, what the word of God says. all your feelings, all your emotions, all your opinions, all what other people say, have to submit to the final authority of the Word of God. So if Christ is your master, you need to be obedient. My question is, are you obedient? That's the question. Then the next thing, what I want to see, show you, if Christ is your beloved, you should love Him because He's your beloved. Do you love Christ? Is Christ your beloved, or is He just a stranger that you come and hear on Sundays? Or is He a stranger in the house that you will never, if He's your beloved, you always think about your beloved? Or is He just what you hear on Sundays, and only when you open the Bible, or you're never Christ conscious. You never have the Christ consciousness in your heart, in your mind. Because then, Christ is more like a stranger to you. He's more like a religion, tradition. If Christ is your beloved, you should love Him. And the other thing what I want to show you is that we are all called to preach the gospel to every creature. Only we don't know who are the elect and who are going to be saved and who are not going to be saved. But we as Christians are called to preach the gospel to every creature. Only God can open the hearts of the unbelievers, as salvation is of God only. Only God knows who are the true seed and who are not the true seed. But we are to preach the gospel to everybody. That is our duty, to witness and preach the gospel. Beside all this, every time, remember that every hour we live, we are getting nearer and nearer to heaven for the believers. Every day goes by, every week passes by, we are getting nearer and nearer to heaven. And also, the sinners are getting nearer and nearer to hell. So the time which we can serve Christ by winning souls is getting shorter and shorter and shorter as days goes by. And we need to remember that our days are few. So we need to use the short time that we have right now to serve the Lord and witness to other people and win souls to Christ. And that is our duty, and that is our obedience, and that is our love that we have for Christ. Even to plant the seed, even to say something, just to plant the seed, give some tracts, and tell people, that is our duty. Now some might say, well, Pastor, I cannot preach. I'm not good in praying in public. I cannot preach, but you know what? You can help in the ministry, in other things, in other ways you can help in the ministry. You can pray by yourself, and you can support God's work, and you can still serve God even in very small ways. There was a Puritan, a preacher who once preached a sermon, and there were only two words in his text. And this is his topic. And Bartholomew. That was his topic. And Bartholomew. The reason he took the text and Bartholomew is because in the gospel, Bartholomew's name is never mentioned alone. He's always associated with somebody else, with the other apostles. Bartholomew was never the principal actor or the principal person right in the middle, but always he was the second. That's my point. You may not be able to do it yourself, but you can help someone else in the ministry. Jesus helped us to be a helper for others. Amen. Let's pray.
This is Pastor Nick, and we hope today's sermon was a blessing to your soul. If you are blessed spiritually by this ministry, Please pray for us as we provide free Christian booklets for prisoners all over the United States. Also, we provide free booklets and audio CDs all over the world for God's glory. Our mailing address is Agape Chapel Ministries, P.O. Box 59084, Norwalk, California 90652. We truly covet your prayers, and until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless your soul with the richness of His Word.
Precious name, holy.